Before I get started, I just want you to say rest in peace to Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gianna Bryant, who passed away this past Sunday, as well as others that were on the helicopter as well. Hello, welcome to the Country Caribbean Podcast. I am your host, A-Lynn, and welcome back. This week has been pretty chill, you know, and I hate when I change my mind in the middle of me actually doing a whole decision or whatnot, because I was supposed to go to, you know, the north side, North Georgia, you know, the bougie areas, just kidding, but I was supposed to go to Doraville, supposed to check out some stuff. Instead, I decided to go downtown. I don't know why I wanted to go downtown, because I ended up not even going to some of the places that I was looking at on Google. Me and my daughter just ended up walking around downtown and stuff. But, you know, it was good for my daughter because, you know, get her out the house. You know, she seen the Ferris wheel. You know, we went to the park, went to a little playground, just walked around downtown, really basically in a whole circle. And this was like, I believe, the Sunday, yeah, it was a Saturday before MLK, you know, for the MLK holiday. So, of course, like, to be honest, now that I'm older, I don't realize, like, how much money, like, my dad or mom spent on certain stuff until I try to go to those certain things with my own daughter. Because I tried to go to, I don't want to mess up the name. But I tried to go to the Civil Rights Museum. I'm going to say that. Yeah, Civil Rights Museum. That's what I'm going to call it. I know it's called something else. But the museum where it has all the stuff, like, they have, because I've been there before with my dad and brother. So they have, like, all the stuff from, you know, the Civil Rights Movement. Of course, they have their own little area for Martin Luther King. They even have a whole section dedicated to the girl who did not want to move her seat before Rosa Parks decided that she did not want to move her seat. They have all her information, of course, like, everything about her. The reason why she couldn't be the face of the movement is because, you know, she was a young girl. And then not because she was a young girl, but because she got pregnant young. So she was a teen mom and they didn't want her to be the face. You know, just the whole look of the things. And I was like, oh. Okay. They also had, like, a demonstration, like, not demonstration, I would say an area to where, like, you could actually sit on one of the benches, you put on the headphones, and there's people yelling at you in the headphones, you know, basically, I would say a simulation. So basically, oh, my nose is stiff right now. So basically, to get an idea of what people who did the sit-ins, what they had to deal with, like, it felt like somebody was kicking the seat, all that stuff. And then there was when you first enter, it's like a colored, and then, you know, it just have a whole bunch of stuff related, you know, to back, I need to stop saying, you know, but back then, of course I'm gonna say, you know, because, you know, it's history. I think everybody learns about this every January. So when I decided to go there, I said, let me and my daughter go there. I'm looking at them ticket prices and I'm like, damn, what the hell? I did not know that they were, like, them tickets were up there, especially, like, for adults and children. And they were talking about having a special. No, a lady asked, was there a special since it's going to be a Martin Luther King holiday? And it's so crazy because I know I wasn't the only person, because when I was, like, on social media, a lot of people were, like, they were posting videos of them at, you know, these museums, and there was a whole bunch of white people with Make America Great hats and shit at these Martin Luther King museums. I don't say Martin Luther King museums. I don't know if there's more than one, but I know one person was like, yo, I'm at the, you know, civil rights area. It's a whole bunch of white people here with Make America Great hats and stuff. What the hell is going on? Like, that'd be so confusing, because I know this rapper named No Name. She was like, yo, I'm, like, I don't feel comfortable performing and stuff because I make music from the black perspective. I make music for people that look like me. I make music, you know, for people who have the same vibe as me. But when I go to my concerts, it's just a whole bunch of white people at my concerts. And they're looking at me. They're singing along to my songs. And they're yelling, nigga, hard as hell, towards me. And she just basically said how uncomfortable she felt. Because it's very confusing. Because many people have said this before when they go to concerts. Concerts for black artists. They said it's so confusing when you go to these artist concerts, and it's just a whole bunch of Caucasian people. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Like, Caucasian people can enjoy whatever they want to enjoy. But it is very confusing when you go to something and they're talking about their experience growing up in a certain area, being black in America, and you have all these Caucasian people at the concert, and they're like, yeah, being growing up was tough, blah, 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 nigga, 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 nigga. So I can see how that... It's kind of weird, though. I mean, yeah, I understand America is this whole melting pot. You know, we're all blended up of different cultures and stuff and whatnot. But when it comes down to, like, the black culture, it's still very sensitive to a lot of things. Because it's like, how can you understand it when you don't... you have to experience to understand it, basically. That's just my point of view. I'm not going to get into the whole hair situation. I'm going to leave the whole... I'm going to have a whole episode dedicated towards hair. But I'm going to have to bring somebody on as well to talk about hair, too. Because it's a lot of stuff I want to talk about that I think, you know, just another person can help me with. So, MLK holiday. You know, these kids are out of school. My daughter was out of school. She hung out with my mom. She went to go see her grandparents. I had to work. So, I'm like, I had to work. So, it's like, every time, because holidays always, well, not recently, but, you know, holidays that fall on Mondays, you know, I still have to work. But I like it when holidays fall on the days I don't have to work because I'm at the house chilling and stuff, you know, hanging out with my baby. And that's one thing I'm trying to do more is spend more time with my daughter. Like, my daughter is an only child. So since she is an only child, you know, I try to not have her cooped up in the house a lot. You know, me, I'm a homebody. I'm a chill at the home. I'm an introvert. I like to keep to myself. I enjoy my own company. My daughter is the total opposite of me. And, oh, that's, it'd be so overwhelming because, like, I'm a person, like, I like to be at home. My daughter wants to go here, here, here. She likes to talk to everybody. She likes to enter. She's such a friendly person. I have to protect her at all costs because she's a princess. You know, she's Miss President. For real, for real. And I remember this one woman, she was like, your daughter is bossy. But she said, that's a good thing because it's going to help her out in the future. And I was like, yeah, that is a good thing. A good thing that she's bossy and stuff because she could put her foot down. But it does get her in trouble, though, because she always feels like she has to defend herself when somebody try her. Because my daughter told me the other day, she was like, mommy, I went to the bathroom at school and this girl was in there. She called me ugly. I called her ugly back and she hit me. And I was like, yo, but she was like, you know what I didn't do? I ain't hit her back. And I was like, oh, Lord. Because I already knew I was going to get a phone call about my daughter fighting in the bathroom. Because this won't be her first time fighting in the bathroom and stuff. So, but she's the only child. So, you know, she's used to everything going her way because it just be her. Like, it just be her. That's it. But I'm trying to spend more time with her, get her out the house more. Even if that means, you know, putting a battery in my back. And telling myself, like, girl, we're going to this area, not for you, but for your daughter, okay? Also, I'm sipping on some lemon tea. Sipping on some lemon tea, keep my vocals nice and hydrated. All right, so what I'm going to be talking about in this episode is going to be talking about the Ivy Park launch, even though it's been a couple of days already since the launch. But I'm going to talk about that launch, you know, what I've seen and stuff. I'm going to talk about Tyler Perry. Yeah, so talk about Tyler Perry and his whole drama with everybody, mostly the black community. I'm going to talk about the movie that he just put out. It's not going to be a review. It's just going to be it's not going to be like a whole movie review. It's just going to be talking about, just certain things that I picked up, and then talk about his other movies. I'm going to be talking about his other movies and stuff. And let's get into it. So, with Ivy Park, first of all, it's so crazy because this same thing happened to me when it came down to Bad Boys. Like, you constantly hear about the day is going to come out. You constantly hear about the day is going to come out. You constantly hear about what the day is going to come out. So then the day comes and goes, and you're like, oh shit, when the hell did this come out? So Bad Boys came out, and everybody's talking about it. And I'm like, why is everybody talking about Bad Boys? Like, ain't it supposed to be coming out in a minute? We saw Bad Boys come out already, and I'm like, oh shoot. And one thing I like about everything that's coming out, nobody is spoiling it. So I'm like, okay, cool. But any other thing, like with the Avengers, people spoiled the Avengers and shit. Like, when I went to go see the movie, I was like, I wasn't even, like, shocked at the stuff that happened because people done already spoiled it for me. But nobody spoiled Bad Boys. Nobody spoiled Tyler Perry's Netflix movie that just came out, Fall from Grace. People making jokes, but they did not spoil it. So Ivy Park came out, and people were complaining about the sizes. Of course, like when I went on YouTube, every video was about Ivy Park and the size drama. Every post I've seen was about Ivy Park and the size drama. I've heard different point of views when it comes down to the reason why a lot of people don't carry plus sizes because of, you know, how much space it takes up or the material, or they're unsure if people are going to buy it or not. But if you look, even if you did not want to see, if you've seen the promo pictures for Ivy Park Adidas line, nice as, well, from other people's point of view, it might not be nice, but they look decent. The color, just the colors alone, even if the outfits did not look, you know, all that, it's just the whole color, the whole burgundy cream, the whole orange color thing. My nose is stuffy, excuse me. But I wanted to of course it sold out in minutes. I was like, oh shit. But, you know, I went to the website, I looked at everything. It is definitely a luxury line, because I ain't seen nothing in there under $30. To be honest, being corny person I am, I thought she was going to have the grills on there. I thought she was going to have the earrings on there, but she didn't. But, so, you know, it's whatever, you know. So, I looked at, to be honest, I just wanted a bag, because her bags look nice, though. Like, I can see myself using that, like, I can see myself rocking them bags in the summertime. Bruh. Like, I hope it's not one of those things where everything's sold out and then that's it. Like, the whole Rihanna and her shoes that she had with Adidas, I believe, or Pumas. Oh shit, I cannot remember. But she had some dope-ass Fenty shoes. She had a collab with these shoes, and once they sold out, that was it. And, like, if I were to go buy the shoes right now, they probably all beat up and stuff, because I'm going to have to go to eBay, or I'm going to have to go to Poshmark and buy it off of somebody, because there's nowhere on the website for me to buy it, because they no longer have it, because once they sold out, it was it. So I hope Ivy Park don't do that shit. You know, she got, you know, I'm not trying to be in nobody's pockets, but, you know. So a lot of people are mad because the biggest size was extra large. To be honest, I was mad a little bit too, because I'm like, bruh, I wanted a bodysuit, to be honest. A bodysuit looked nice. I could see myself in that burgundy bodysuit with this brown skin, bitch, with my hair done up in my curls. So I was nervous too, because I'm like, damn, you know, if it goes up to an extra large, because I bought stuff that's extra large and it did not fit me. So I would have been mad too. And a lot of people were like, oh, how come they don't come in extra large? You know, Adidas do carry stuff that come in bigger than extra large. It's like, yo, what's going on? A lot of people are saying, oh, you got to see it from a capitalist point of view. You know, she probably didn't think the extra large would sell. Or she probably didn't, you know, probably was waiting till the next launch to do it. And a lot of people were like, oh, how come it's always the next launch, the next launch, the next launch? Why can't we always be included in the original launch? True. From a business point of view, one thing I'm trying not to do is bring up the fact, the fact that I went to school for business, but, you know, I think it, people might see it more as me being valid that, oh, you know, this is something that I studied, so, you know, I can see, you know, this is where my point of view is coming across. But as a person who got, and speaking of school and business, I got my information about my graduation. My graduation is in the summertime, so I'm done with school. I'm done with classes since December. Since December, the beginning of December. I finished all my classes with all B's, which was decent. So I finished all my classes with all B's. Got my information about graduation. My graduation status is paid. I have to hit them up to see if my cap and gown is separate. And, you know, everything's not included. You know how these schools be doing. So I have to hit them up about that. But I got my information, told my fam. I think the closer it gets to the month, I graduate in June. So the closer it gets to June, that's when I'm going to, like, let everybody know, like, hey. Because me, I'm not a person that likes to invite people to stuff because I'm not a, like, I invite people that I know are going to come. But then people start to feel some type of way because I didn't invite them at all. But then, you know, I guess it's the thought, like, hey, you know, even though I didn't want to come, you could at least invite me. But it was like, what's the point? But I invite people that I know are going to come. So, and then on top of it, it's on a Saturday. So, it's whatever with that when it comes to that. But, yeah, I've got my information about graduation. I already know how I'm going to take my graduation. I'm going to take my own graduation pictures. I'm probably have to teach whoever is going to be at my graduation how to work my cameras because I don't want no iPhone. I don't want no iPhone pictures. All right. I don't want no pictures on my phone. I want you to take pictures of my camera so I could go and, you know, snap it up. Cause I like the quality of my camera, especially my Nikon camera. So I'm gonna have to get another lens for my Nikon camera because the one I have now is more close up. I want one to where, you know, they don't have to get that close. They don't have to really adjust the lens too much. And all about that. So let me go back to Ivy Park. So from a business point of view, she's seen as, you know, what's gonna, not seen as what's gonna make money, but, you know, they probably weren't too sure because it's more than just, you know, this woman having a lunch. She has a whole ass team. Her team was probably like, you know what, we don't know how many plus sizes are going to sell. We probably don't know, because when it comes to businesses, you know, it's a whole breakdown, and you don't want to have all these products sell, and it's like a million products that are coming back. I guess they didn't want to, but that is kind of lazy, though. Like, I mean, eventually stuff is going to come back because it didn't fit right, or, you know, they just didn't like how it looked on their body. It eventually is going to come back. So, it's like, whatever. But I already know from what I've heard that it costs more money to make plus size because you're using more material. Because this one time I went to this craft store before it closed down, I was looking at different material. Just look at different material, you know. I haven't reached that level yet of sewing. But to look at different material and, like, denim, I see why denim pants be, like, $30-$40 because that material is like, it's a lot of money per yard. And I'm like, shoot. So imagine me making, all right, let's imagine me having a shirt, and especially like with the design, of all the outfits and stuff, it's going to be more material. And I'm having flashbacks. Because I know when I look on websites and I look at the plus size section, don't be having all the cute stuff that the smaller girls have. And Sometimes they do have the same stuff as the smaller girls. It's just in a different design. So that could be that. But hopefully, like, everybody said, like, we got to see how this plays out. We got to see how this plays out. Because, to be honest, if I was Beyonce, I would have told my team, like, yo, I have fans of different shapes and sizes. Even if you weren't too sure about the plus size people, you still could have had a little small section for the plus size people, period. Like, I feel as though, you know, everybody wants to be included. If you're not too sure, it's still good to have a small batch for the not too sure. Even if they don't sell, like, okay, it's not going to sell. Recycle the material. Do it as that. Like, I feel laziness. I wouldn't say laziness, but it's like, what is going on? Like, I understand, like, people spending money. You got to make money. You know, you got to spend money to make money, period. And I'm trying to think. And then sometimes you're going to have situations to where, you know, you go, like, you make that money back, but, you know, you end up spending a little. Now, I'm trying to think. You know, a lot of people talk about break even. You know, sometimes, you know, you get more back on your investment, and sometimes you get just enough to where you're making back some of the money that you spent. So it's like, you know, even if those small batches don't sell, it's like, oh well, like, throw that shit on sale. Somebody, to be honest, somebody's going to buy it. I don't mean to yell, but somebody is going to buy it. You might, like, the fuck? Like, bro, they even, with the Lizzo, like, they said they sent Lizzo something. I didn't even see Lizzo in the outfit. I seen somebody else on her team in the outfit. So I was like, what the bumba? Somebody is going to buy it. Like, I don't know. Like, that's their business. But from my point of view, that's why I don't want to do nothing clothing related. Because when I know I was telling my dad about business and stuff, he was like, oh, all these stores are getting shut down. Nobody's really buying clothes like they used to. But I was like, I don't want to have a clothing brand. Because it just seemed like a lot of stress. Especially if I were a person that was making my own clothes. Oh my goodness. But yeah, I don't want to have no clothing brand. Because it just seems so stressful. And me, I might not be that big, but I do be pissed when, you know, I see something cute and it's in a size small and medium. And I'm like, damn. And then and when I find out that these sizes never came in large or extra large, I'm like, damn. So it's just fuck me then. So it's just like, it's forget me then. Like I say, just to wrap this whole thing up, somebody's going to buy it, period. And then I know one person was like, oh, do you see any big girls in the gym? Excuse me, but do you see how cute them damn clothes is? Not everybody's gonna be wearing them cute ass clothes to the gym. I wouldn't even, nigga, even if I got a bodysuit. Listen, I'm wearing my bodysuit. To be honest, I don't even know where the hell to wear that damn bodysuit to. I probably would. So that's why I said, forget the bodysuit. I'm just gonna get the damn bag. But I don't see nobody wearing that. I can see people wearing that shit to them summer party, them parties that finna go on in the spring and the summertime. I can see somebody wearing those shits to homecoming later on this year. To, you know, to like football games, to basketball games. It's like, it's more than just workout clothes. Like, to be honest, I see people in a lot of workout clothes who don't ever wear that stuff to work out. They don't wear that stuff to work out. They wear that stuff regular, every day. I don't even work out in my sweatpants. I wear my sweatpants to go to the store real quick. Or just to walk around the house, keep my legs warm. Like, the nerve of you niggas. Alright, so we're working out. I did some lower ab workouts because after I had my daughter, you know, I had my little fupa. You know, everybody know what a fupa is, a little fat. That little fat area, you know, everybody be joking about, you know, people tucking it into their leggings, tucking it into their pants and stuff. You know, the little kangaroo pouch. So I used to think, like, oh, you could never get rid of that. You could never get rid of that. And then I decided to do some lower ab exercises, just to do lower ab exercises. And they reduced my fupa. Like, my lower stomach is smaller than what it used to be. And I'm like, okay, bet. So I'm gonna definitely post that on my Instagram, the Lord Ab Workouts. And I'm gonna definitely do a video about that in the future. I need to start editing these videos and putting them out, because they just sitting there on my computer. But I'm definitely going to talk about, you know, how I reduced my fupa and stuff, because people make it seem like it's impossible to remove that lower fat area. I mean, it's difficult because you got to figure out what exercises target that area. But boy, once you figure out them damn exercises, that little thing gonna be small. All right, so I seen, when I was doing hair the other day, I seen a fall from grace. When I was doing hair last week, actually, I seen a fall from grace, because the person had asked me, my client, she was like, what type of, you know, what do you want to watch on Netflix? So I'm like, you know, I want to watch Fall from Grace, you know. I had plans on watching it, heard everybody talk about it, especially after the trailer drop, you know, how, I see everybody's point of view, you know, from both sides, Tyler Perry's side and from his, you know, the audience side. So I seen a Fall from Grace. I'm like, okay. Like people said, it had potential, like, but it did, like I said, it did feel rushed. And then when come to find out that Tyler Perry filmed the thing in 5 days, I'm like, oh, okay, it was rushed. So I'm watching it, you know, from the trailer, you know, I kind of know what's going to go down. I'm trying to think. So, you know, plot twist, because I was like, okay, you know, what's going on? You know, how is this possible? How is that possible? Then come to find out, you know, him and his mama. And I'm like, okay. And it finally came together. But at the end, it did seem kind of rushed. And and this is such a writer's, a only writer's type of thing. Because when we used to have to write short stories in school, I used to struggle with starting the story off. The story would start off slow, but then once I get into the middle, you know, I'm like, woo, it's a whole bunch of this, plot twist. Like all the good information was in the middle, and then once they were like, okay, time is finna go out, I'm like, oh, shoot. And I had to rush, and I had to wrap it up. So I'm not a writer, but I do, like, little writings every here and there. And, you know, I try to be consistent with my storylines, be consistent with my characters, so people won't have so many questions. But Tyler Perry knows that, you know, it's going to get the people talking and stuff. And to be honest, a lot of people get mad at what he does, but if something has worked for you for years, you're going to run with it until the wheels come off. Like, you're going to ride that bitch out, and then you're going to turn around and pick up something different. I think the problem people have is with him, because he's not keeping, like, what he said. Oh, they wouldn't let me at the table, so I had to build my own table. But now you're not letting nobody at your table. So you're not any different than the people that would not let you at their table at all. So it's like, come on, dude. Like, and I know many people say, oh, you know, people with money are selfish. People with money were selfish. That's how you keep more money in your pocket, by being selfish. And he's not, like, of course, he's stuck in his ways, because you have to see it. I'm looking at Tyler's point of view. Okay, when you start off doing something, don't nobody support you. Don't nobody want to help you. You know, you have these group of people that do want to help you, that constantly come back around. From the start of his career till now, you've seen where those people who was there with him, you see where they went off to. So he had to build his own team. He had to build his own support system. So when you're in a tough spot and it feels like the only person you have is yourself, you know, outside of the people that you have, but when you feel like your own people that you have is yourself, that you believe your vision, that you see the end goal, of course you're gonna be selfish. I'm stuttering because, like, I have so much to say, but of course you're gonna come off selfish. I know there's been plenty of times where I've been stuck in a hole, or I've been stuck in a low, and, like, I'm like, okay, you know, it's going to go my way. You know, this is how it's going to go. Because I've let people come in. Don't nobody want to help. Don't nobody want to support. Don't nobody believe in me. I have to believe in myself. So, of course, Tyler Perry's coming off cheap because the wigs. When it comes to bad wigs, you are horrible. Because he said he don't need no budget when it comes down to wigs and hair. He still has the mindset. I won't say he still has the mindset, but he's doing what has been working for him for years. Period. He's doing what's been working for him for years. Since the beginning. Like, yeah, I got money now, but it's like, I don't want to go back to how. I think it's just a whole mentality. Not a whole mentality thing. To be honest, I don't even know what the hell it is. I'm trying to see it from my eyes, but it's so fucking hard to see it from my eyes. Oh, shoot, I didn't mean to hit the mic. I'm trying so hard not to cuss and yell, but it's so hard to see it from my eyes because I'm just like, what's going on? You know, he talked about his story plenty of times. You know, he has no budget for hair and makeup. And to be honest, bruh, I be wearing cheap ass wigs and stuff. Bruh, them wigs be like $10, $20. You can get you a $10, $20 wig and it's going to look bomb. That's it. $10, $20 wig. You know, I know makeup, it depends on the person. I know makeup is a lot of money. But when it comes down to wigs, sweetie, and even if then you can recycle the wigs. You can recycle the wigs. That's it. You can recycle the wigs. As somebody that wants to be a creator, I be recycling shit. Okay? Like, there's a section in my closet that just has a whole bunch of stuff. It has a whole bunch of hair stuff. I have a whole bunch of different things that I'm like, I could use this in the future. You know, you could be cheap and not want to spend your money, but it's always good to, yeah, you got all this money now. You got your whole studio and shit. You know, you got the studio to pay for. You know, you got lights to pay for, taxes to pay on and stuff. So I know that could be a good, you know, that's a good chunk out of your paycheck or whatever. But if you're going to be cheap, at least recycle. That's the best thing you can do. I know people who are in plays. I know a lot of them be recycling costumes, recycling wigs and stuff. But to not have no budget for a wig, to not want to spend the money on a wig. And then you might as well just not go with the wigs at all. If the wigs are going to look so trash or the wigs are going to look so crazy, just don't do the wigs. Just don't do it at all. That's it. I don't have Tyler Perry money, but I'm not afraid to spend money on these wigs and have these wigs put up somewhere because to use them for another time. Like me, I'm about to do a little mini series, little mini photo shoots every here and there dedicated to retro babes, dedicated to women of the 70s and the 80s and shit. So of course I'm going to be recycling my wigs. Let me throwing this wig on top of that person. I have wigs in my closet from... bro, I'm going on a whole rant about wigs. But I have wigs in my closet from 3-4 years ago. Because I'm like, I'm going to use it in the future. Somehow, some way. So, just the whole wigs thing. That thing, that's what irritated me. Because it's like, just don't do the wigs at all. And then just him talking about... Yes, it's good that you can... I keep stuttering, but... Like, this is something that I really want to talk about. Yeah, it's good that you can produce 3-4 shows in a year. But it's the quality. That's it. It's the quality, man. The quality, man. What's your problem? The quality. Because I could bust out with 10. No. Rewind. I could bust out with 20 skit ideas for comedians in Atlanta. And you're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You're so talented. But if them skits are trash, then it's just like, okay, oh, you can come up with ideas, but you're not coming up with quality ideas, you know? And you're talking about some, oh, I could do a show. You know, I can write this. I can write a whole script in 3 days, 4 days. I can produce a show in 7 days, 5 days. And it's like, okay, but it comes off rushed. And I know Netflix be spending money, but to be honest, instead of producing something in 5 days, I probably would have produced it in 10 days, you know, just to make sure everything is straight and whatnot. Especially if you, I don't know, film is not my thing. I'm more of a, well, I don't know if they go hand in hand. Movies are not my thing. I'm more of a short stories. And that's what it could have been. It could have been a skit. A Fall from Grace could have been a skit. It could have been a whole movie. It could have been a skit, bruh. It could have been a YouTube video. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not mad at it. But now I've seen everybody's point of views. And of course, like, as a black woman, you know, you have a man who's the only writer of these movies giving a black woman's perspective. And, you know, it does sound sexist, like, when somebody said, oh, a man can't give a woman's perspective, but he could have, that's another thing, he could have brought people in to consult about different characters. These people don't have to come in and be writers, but you could have talked to different people to get their perspective of different stuff. Like, King of Reed said, you know, he's doing a conflict of interest by having a DA in a relationship with a police officer. I know many people point out the background. I don't really pay attention to the background and stuff. But, you know, it was just rushed. He said it was filmed in 5 days. So if you go back and look at it, it's like, yeah, this is filmed in 5 days. Definitely. Period. Poo. But with Tyler Perry is a black creator at the end of the day. And when you're a black creator, you know, black creators, it's rare that, you know, we get like I said, black people have to work harder than non-black people when it comes down to certain things. Listen, this is my opinion. Don't get mad. It's my opinion. So the fact that you have to work four times as hard to at least get a touch of the space that other people don't have to work that hard to get in. Especially being a black creator, you want everything told from the same way No Name said, I'm not changing my work. I'm just going to change where I decide to distribute my work. You know, she's like, I'm going to still make music from a black girl's perspective, talking about things of a black girl, but I'm not performing in front of Caucasian people because they keep calling me nigga. They keep repping my lyrics saying nigga hard as hell to me. Most of my concerts are white people. I don't know. So I'm going to still make my music, but I'm just not going to perform it like that because I'm not comfortable. And you can say that as a black creator. People can't get mad. If No Name can turn into a freaking songwriter, that's where they be making all the money at. But being a black creator, you don't want nobody to come in and change your ideas because it's like, this is my idea. This is my perspective. Like with me, I would consider myself I'm a creator. I make Country Caribbean podcasts. I talk about stuff that a lot of people don't really talk about, or a lot of people do talk about. You know, I want to shine more light and attention on Caribbean people raised in America, on people my age, millennials who are of Caribbean background, or just millennials in general. Talk about what we going on. Talk about what's going on with us. Talk about how we see the world. How we handle parenting. How we handle going to work. How we handle school. Our mental health. All that stuff. If somebody comes in and tries to change it, I'm gonna be like, no. I'm gonna put my foot down and be like, no, because not many people are talking about this, Or I want my perspective out there, because different perspectives are important. Because there's no one way to be Black. There's no one way to be Caribbean. There's no one way to be a millennial, a young adult, a mom, all that shit. So I can see why Tyler was like, no, my way. Why? My way. Because of past experiences, because of where he was at before he got to where he needs to be at. He has, when you have a whole bunch of ideas in your head, bruh, I have so many, bruh, if I show my book list right now, I have so many book lists with so many ideas I want to put out there. Period. There's so many ideas I want to put out there. But you don't want nobody to come around and change it. You don't want nobody. That's why he created his own, like you said, he created his own table. Because he's like, they don't like my ideas, so I'm going to have a platform. I'm going to have this area to where I can create my ideas, and there's nobody telling me to no, I can't do that. Or there will be no reason for me to have this idea in the toilet, in the closet and stuff. Especially if you feel like your idea is a good idea. Eventually it gets old. Same way he had to retire the character, not because, oh, I'm getting older, I'm tired of the character. It's because you were running out of ideas. That's it. You were running out of ideas. Everything was coming off corny. Everything was coming off cheesy. When you started to include people who can't act, or include people that just because they're popular, like, everything started to come off lazy. And they're like, everybody's getting older. Your audience is getting older. That's why a lot of businesses fail, because they don't want to change. They don't want to move with the times. Like, yeah, you can still keep doing what you're doing, but they don't want to move with the times. That's it. Blockbuster, there's only one Blockbuster out there. And I'm surprised it's still even alive to this day. But Blockbuster did not want to move with the time. You know what Netflix did? Netflix was like, you know what? We're going to stop sending movies. We're going to stop mailing movies to people. And we're going to have a digital platform for people to pay monthly to watch whatever the fuck movie they want to watch. Blockbuster was like, oh, nah, that's cute, sis. Whatever. We're going to stick to doing what we're doing. Like, now there's only one Blockbuster. Now there's only one Blockbuster around, and Netflix done popped off the streaming wars. Now everybody has a platform where you can pay monthly. So it's like, you gotta move with the time. People are getting, you're getting older. Your audience is getting older. Some of your audience is not even around anymore, because they're getting older. So you have to move with the times. And then, being a Black creator, you should know how hard it is for Black creators to get their foot into the door as writers, as actors. Yeah, he's giving jobs to actors, but as writers, as production people, as freaking creative directors, as freaking makeup artists, as hairstylists, you should know, man. So, I'm trying to figure out how to end this. I see both point of views, from the audience point of view and his point of view, but I think people just gonna have to move on. That's it. People gonna have to move on. There's more than, yeah, I understand that, you know, he's popular and he's, you know, he has his name on many projects, and, you know, if people feel as though he's putting out, it's all, people feel like he's not putting out a good image, move, we're just going to move on to somebody else who are creators. We're going to have to really support creators, people that are into film, that are small, that are medium, that are large, before they're like big. Well, large is considered big, but you know what I'm talking about. You got to support them all at each level, support their projects, you know, hype them up, you know, support, go to their little panels, go to their meetings. Send them. If they say $5 for this, pay the $5, bruh. It's just all about support at the end of the day. That's all what I'm about. I'm about support. Even if I know how you did your shit, I'ma still support it. I'ma still put it out there. I'ma still talk about it. I'ma still engage with what you do to bring more traffic to what the fuck you got going on. It's just all about support. That's it. At the end of the day, it's support. That's it. I'm just going to summarize it as, because I'm going to be sitting up here just talking over and over again. But like I said, we just have to do better, okay? Just first thing we can start off with is drinking water. You know, we got to keep our vocals. We got to keep our vocals moisturized and stuff. And just how you do it. Thank you for listening to the Country Caribbean Podcast. I've been your host, Aylin. You can follow me on Instagram at The Country Caribbean. Follow me on Facebook at The Country Caribbean Podcast. You can follow my main page at a.lynnb. You know, I just be, that's more personal, whatever, whatnot. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, you know, let people know I'm on Apple Podcasts, I'm on Spotify, I'm on Overcast, I'm on Google Podcasts, I'm on Beaker, and many more streaming platforms for people. Subscribe to the Country Caribbean YouTube. I will be putting the audio as well for people who don't have these listening platforms, and SoundCloud in the future. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.